Please, and turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 68. Psalm 68 this morning. This psalm is, according to the Treasury of David, a book that Charles Spurgeon wrote, is deep, dark, and difficult. Most commentators that I've read about this psalm talks about, they believe it describes a time when the Ark of the Covenant was taken forth to battle. And as it was taken forth to battle, God would give them the victory, and then they would bring the Ark back. And they would bring the ark back to Mount Zion. And as they were bringing the ark back to Mount Zion, those spoils that they got in the victory, and those that they captured, they would parade them behind the ark, and they would lead those captives into captivity. And many of those people became bondsmen and slaves for the children of Israel. And I want you to notice what it says in verse number 18. And this is going to sound very familiar because the Apostle Paul talked about this in Ephesians chapter 4. As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 8 and 9 is a direct quote from this passage of Scripture. But I want you to notice what the psalmist said, "Thou hast ascended on high," talking about Mount Zion. "Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." Look at what it says in the next verse, verse 19. This is the result of God leading people captive to Himself. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation," Selah. Think about it. That's what the word Selah means. Pause and rest for a while. Meditate on those things. "Blessed is the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation," Selah. "He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongeth the issues from death." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, we are thankful for the word. We're thankful, Lord, that you chose to love us. We're thankful, Lord, that you can take us from the bondage and the slavery that the world, the flesh, and the devil has captivated us in. And Lord, that you can bring us victory. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, that you would lead them to thee. Lord, I pray that all those that know thee, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us and guide us and direct us. And Lord, help us to be the type of Christians that we need to be, surrendered of our own free will to thee. Guide and direct, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been to the jail a number of times here in Ottawa County and in Wood County and in down in Sandusky County and other places visiting people. Not long ago, I was talking to a young man at the county jail. He told me how he had messed up. He told me about his drug and his alcohol problems. He told me about his immorality problems. The young man was broken. The fact of the matter is, he was in bondage. He said, "Regardless of how hard I try, preacher," he says, "I cannot break the power of all that is holding me." I told him that he needed to surrender his will to the Lord's will, and the Lord would give him victory. He said, but you need to understand, I need help. He says, you need to understand, I'm an addict. And I says, I understand that. But there is no bondage that the Lord cannot break. And there is no addiction so strong and so great that God cannot overcome it. And I told this young man, I said, I realize that you're addicted to those things, but probably the thing that you're addicted to the most is poor decisions. Because poor decisions lead us into poor lifestyles. You see, the bottom line is, we all need to surrender our will to His will. Amen? We've all heard of individuals that have fallen into sin. People that we would never imagine in our wildest dreams would commit such atrocities. Oh, we've heard about our politicians and how some of the questionable things that they've done, and even downright immoral things. Things that has happened right in our White House, both by Democrat and Republican alike. We have heard about doctors that have fallen into sin, even recently. We have heard about teachers and sex scandals that have been taking place right in our public school systems. You say, yeah, it's just horrible, preacher. We've heard about even pastors in the Toledo and in our local area that has fallen into sin. Number one, let's not be quick to point the finger. Ye which are spiritual, the Bible says, restore such one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. About the time we think that we're higher than them is the time that we'll fall ourselves. We've all heard about those individuals falling into sin, and even professional athletes, it's plagued our newspapers and our television screens with the depravity that they have fallen into. Why? Why does all these things happen? Because the fact of the matter is, we are all in bondage. Regardless of how good you are and how holy you are, we are in bondage today. I want you to notice. Notice the text. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. As I said, this passage is talking about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was sent out to battle. God would give them victory. They would bring the ark back. The army and the chariots would follow them back following the Ark of the Covenant, back to Zion. And those that was captive, He was leading them back to Mount Zion. What was the ark? I want you to stop and think about this. What was the Ark of the Covenant? Number one, the Ark of the Covenant, I'd like to have you consider this. It was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about the Ark of the Covenant was about the Lord. First of all, its construction. It was made of acacia wood. It was a pure white wood that was completely overlaid with gold. It represented the 100% pure humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was 100% man. But the gold that completely enveloped it, you could never see any of the white wood because it was completely encased in pure beaten gold. It represented the Lord Jesus Christ, His deity. And the gold represented God and the pureness of God and how that the pureness of God engulfed the pureness of man. Its contents. Not only was its construction was of gold and of pure wood and pure gold. But its contents, it held three things. Aaron's rod that budded, it was a sign of from death to life. It pictured the resurrection. And then inside of it was the Ten Commandments. It was the law. It came from the lawgiver. And Jesus Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He is the law incarnate. And then there was the golden pot filled full of manna. The manna is what sustained the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings. Jesus said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Jesus Christ is the one that can sustain us through all of life. So we find that the ark, its construction, its contents, it was all about the Lord. And then its covering was the mercy seat. The mercy seat was made out of a talent that's about 120 pounds of one piece of gold that was beaten. And they beat this gold and formed it. And it was a metal plate, a golden plate that went over top of the Ark of the Covenant. It was a lid. And on top of the lid, there was cherubims, angels, that had their heads bowed and their wings stretched out one toward another. So there was an angel head bowed this way, and on the other side there was an angel that was bowed this way. And between the Ark of the Covenant, between the cherubims on the mercy seat, the Shekinah glory would dwell. That was the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. You know what that was? That was the presence and the power of God. And so the children of Israel, as they were coming back from battle, the power and the presence of God was with them. It's no wonder they had victory. Its covering was the mercy seat. Its conveyance was the power and the presence of God. It was the Shekinah glory. On many occasions, the children of Israel would go out to battle, and the Ark of the Covenant of God would be with them and go before them, and God would give them victory. And as the Lord would give victory, they would take the spoils and lead those prisoners back to Jerusalem, back to Mount Zion, and therefore they led captivity captive and gave gifts from men. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, gave gifts unto men. Today I want you to realize this. We're all prisoners. I'm a prisoner and you're a prisoner. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a prisoner. Oh, yes, you are. Matter of fact, if you have that in your heart, you're more of a prisoner than what you think. You see, the bottom line is we are all prisoners. I am a prisoner. Could you say that with me this morning? I am a prisoner. I want you to notice some verses this morning. Got your Bible this morning? Amen. Amen. See, the bottom line is you are either a prisoner of Satan or you are a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no middle ground. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know what? I'm not anybody's prisoner. I'm not the devil's prisoner. And I'm not the Lord's prisoner. I am my own being and I'm my own person and I'm not anybody's prisoner. You're just duped. You are a prisoner. You see, we are all under the bondage of someone. And we need to realize that we're all prisoners today. Either you're the prisoner of Satan or you're a prisoner of the Lord. Notice the bondage that Satan desires. I want you to look, if you would, please. Acts chapter number 26, verse number 18. It says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus said in John chapter number 8 and verse number 44, ye are of your father the devil, and lust your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. We find in the book of Jude, verse number 19. It says, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. In bondage to sensualism. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 24 and following, it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil. Notice this, verse number 26, who are taken captive by him at his will. The Bible tells us this, that a person that is outside of the will of God and walking in the flesh, opposing themselves against God, that the devil can take them captive anytime the devil wants to, at his will. Listen, as a child of God, you need to make sure that you're walking in the Word and walking in the Spirit of God. Because if you are walking in the flesh, the devil can come along and he can take you captive anytime he wants to. The devil is not your friend. The devil wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your opportunity for ever being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the devil wants to do. We need to understand this morning that we are all prisoners. It says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 5 and 6, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. You see, those individuals who don't walk in the Spirit of God, those individuals who live after the flesh, to please their own flesh over pleasing God, the Bible says that they are led captive. Isn't that interesting? That's the same phraseology that the Psalm talks about. He led captivity captive. I want you to notice some things about the devil this morning. And I want you to notice about the fact that he desires to take you prisoner. Look, if you would please, in Luke chapter number 22, look at verse number 31. Follow along with me in your Bible this morning. Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 31, Jesus Christ is getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary, and he is talking to Simon Peter, and he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you to sift you as wheat. Satan has a desire this morning. Satan's desire for you as an individual, he wants to sift you. Now the idea is, he wants to put a handful of grain in its hands and rub it vigorously until the chaff and the kernel comes apart. In other words, he wants to tear you up. That's what the devil wants to do. The devil has a desire for you. He knows your name. The devil knows your weakness. He knows your number. And he knows exactly what makes you tick, and he knows exactly what your weaknesses are. And so therefore, he's going to do all that he can to tempt you. What are you doing in your own life to build yourself up, to keep yourself from temptation? Are you in the Word of God? Are you reading your Bible? Are you in prayer? Are you in church when the doors are open? You see, if you are not, I'm telling you, you are making yourself vulnerable for the attack of the devil. That's right. Say, oh, not me. I'm too strong for that. You're an idiot. I don't know how else to say it. Listen, that's a good Greek word. It really is. And you need to understand this morning that there is nobody powerful enough. Even Michael the archangel had trouble withstanding the devil. Who in the world are we? We need to make sure we hide ourselves in the hollow of his hand. The devil has a desire for you. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you to sift you as wheat. Let me give you some things about the devil. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 1. He is a deceiver. He will try to make sin look so appealing. He will say, you know what? No one will ever find out. Nobody really cares. Go ahead and enjoy life. He came to Eve and said, Yea, hath God said? He questions the authority of the Word of God. And he is putting doubt in people's minds. He is a deceiver. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 3, as he communicates with Eve, he said this, "Ye shall not surely die." He's a liar. He is a liar. And Satan will come to you and he will not only try to deceive you, but he will out and out lie to you and try to get you to follow him instead of the Lord. He's a liar. He says, "You shall not surely die." In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 14, he is an imposter because he comes as an angel of light. And as ministers of righteousness whose end shall be judged according to their works. You know, I believe if the Antichrist is alive today, very possible he could be in a pulpit someday. Somewhere in the world he could be in a pulpit preaching. He possibly could be standing before multitudes with a white robe on, smiling. You can think about that for a while. Listen, he is a liar. He is referred to as an angel of light. In John chapter number 10 and verse number 10, he has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what Satan wants to do. You know, the Bible says we are not to be ignorant of his devices. We are to understand the wiles or the trickery of the devil. He has got a snare laid. It's got your name on it. What are you doing in your Christian life in order to present yourself from tripping up and falling into that snare? By the way, if you fall into that snare, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to hurt your family. You're going to hurt your church. But you're going to hurt your friends around you. But more importantly, you're going to cause the enemies of God to blaspheme the holy name of God. "Oh, I thought that you were a Christian. I thought you loved God. I thought you put God first in your life, and look at the way you are now." You see, that's what happens when we trip and fall. Now, thank God for God's grace. Amen? And thank God there's nothing that we can do that God can't forgive us for. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that. But I want you to understand that He is a destroyer. He is called Abaddon. In the book of Revelation, Apollyon, it means destroyer. And that's what he wants to do. In 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8, it tells us that our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about and seeking whom he may devour. The devil is actively on a hunt. Who is he hunting? He's hunting the weak. He is hunting the estranged, those who have separated themselves from the flock. He's looking for an easy target just to play with. I remember a number of years ago, we had a cat in our house in Faustoria. In our house in Faustoria, it was a big old farmhouse that, unfortunately, you have big old farmhouses. You have gifts that come along. They're called mice. And I remember our cat, the big old black cat, would catch mice. And before he would give the fatal blow on its back and kill it, he would sit there and play with it. And the mice would, I watched him do it. He'd bat it. The mouse would try to scamper away. He'd run over and jump on it. Bat it again. And the mouse would try to scamper away and he'd run over and pounce on it. And the cat would let it go and the mouse would run away and he'd pounce on it again and then bat it. He just had a good old time with that mouse. Until he was done playing. And then he devoured it. You know, I think the devil is playing with a lot of people's lives. And when he wants to, he's going to make a meal of you. He's going to make a meal of your friend, your relative. You see, he is actively hunting the weak. We find in Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 3 a biblical account of Ananias and Sapphira and how that they had lied to the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" You know what the devil wants to do? The devil wants to fill people's hearts with wickedness. We should not give any place, the Bible says, to the devil. And give no place. And you know what's happened? Christians say, you know what? I don't care what the preacher says. I'm going to go ahead and listen to my rock and roll music. I don't care what the preacher says. I'm going to go ahead and drink my beer. I don't care what the preacher says. I'm not going to go to church. I'm going to go ahead and do the way I want to do things the way I want to do them. And we're giving place to the devil. And the devil is slapping you around and you don't even know it. One day he's going to pounce on you and deliver the final blow. You see, he fills people's hearts with wickedness. He tempts people. He even tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. You read Matthew chapter number 4, 3 times Satan came to him tempting him. He is referred to in Matthew chapter number 4 as the tempter. If we could say anything good about the devil, I would probably have to say he does a good job at what he does. Not to give any glory to him, but give a warning to us all. You say, well, how did all this happen? All this happened because what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 5:12, whereas by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You see, the whole world is lost in sin, and the whole world is in bondage to Satan. They are a prisoner of the devil. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are bound by the power and the influence of the devil. You say, oh, preacher, not me. I'm not that bad. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him all the iniquity of us all. It says in Isaiah 64 and verse number 6 that all of our righteousness, all of our goodness is unto God but filthy rags. You see, there is not a single person here that is good enough to merit God's favor. Because of the sin of Adam, we are all sinners by birth and we are all sinners by choice. And the devil wants to lead you captive all the way to hell. That's what the devil wants to do. And today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the devil's got a chain around you. And listen to me, he is dragging you to a devil's hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, where there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and he is laughing the whole way as he's got a chain around you, dragging you to the pit of hell. He has got you in captivity. I want you to notice something happened. Look over at the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Paul was on the road to Damascus. He had orders in his hands to destroy Christians. And the Lord struck him down with a bright shining light. And the Lord said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who is it, Lord? And the Lord revealed himself that day on the road to Damascus, and the apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus at that time, got saved. And God did a great work in his life. And at that point in time, when he got saved, he switched owners. And when you get saved, you switch owners. I want you to notice the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. By the way, this is a common phrase. Throughout the Scripture, you find people referred to as the prisoner of the Lord. He used that same phrase in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 1. He called himself a prisoner of the Lord. In Titus chapter 1 verse number 1, he called himself a prisoner of the Lord. James said that he was a servant, a prisoner of the Lord, a servant of the Lord. It's that word doulos in the Greek. It means a bond slave, one who has been purchased. You realize that you've been purchased? As a child of God, I have been purchased and you've been purchased. Look, if you would please, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. You got your Bible? Turn there, if you would please. I want you to see this. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. You realize if you're saved today, it's because you've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." You see, we were redeemed. We were purchased. We were purchased from Satan. You see, when we fell, and when mankind fell, Satan took control of your soul, and we became dead in trespasses and sin, without God. And so therefore, we need to be born from above. We need to be born again. We need to be saved by His marvelous grace. You see, the devil wants to take us captive to hell. But the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4 that he was redeemed. He was bought back. He was a prisoner, in other words, a bond slave, one that was purchased. It says it in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 8, and Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the Apostle Paul said the same thing. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." But what is the desire? What did Paul say his desire as a prisoner was? Look at Ephesians 4. Look what the Apostle Paul said as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the devil has a desire for you, but the Lord has a desire for you too. And as when you get saved, now you become the prisoner of the Lord. But what is the Lord's desire? Well, the devil's desire is to take you all the way to a place called hell. But the Lord's desire, in verse number 1, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness of mind, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as they're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But unto every one of us," in other words, the saved, those who were prisoners of the Lord, "but every one of us, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith." Notice that? Anytime you find that in the New Testament, it's pointing back to the Old Testament. "Wherefore he saith." The Apostle Paul is now quoting from the book of Psalms, and it says, "Wherefore he saith, he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth?" By the way, this is not talking about Jesus Christ dying, and when he died, he went to hell and preached to the spirits in hell for 3 days and three nights. That's not what that's talking about, even though there are some Baptists that advocate that. It's not talking about that at all. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and he descended to the lower parts of the earth. And in Psalm 139, verse number 15, it talks about the lower parts of the earth being the mother's womb. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and was born of the Virgin Mary and lived as a human being, but God, a sinless life, and died a sinner's death. And after his death, he arose and ascended up on high. It says, he that descended is the same also that ascended far, up far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. This passage in Ephesians 4 is not talking about the great gulf theory, and it's not talking about Jesus Christ descending into hell as the Apostle Creed talks about and so misrepresents the Scripture. It's, by the way, we ought to get our doctrine from the Bible, not from the Apostles' Creed. Our doctrine should not be leftovers of Romanism. We were never a part of Rome, and I am not going to return. Amen? But I want you to notice, as the devil has a desire for you, so does the Lord. He wants to give you, verse number 7, verse number 1 through verse number 6, he has a desired walk for us. A humble walk, a lowly walk, a worthy walk, a united walk. But verse number 7, he wants to give you a measure of grace for your life. That's what the Lord wants to do. As a prisoner of the Lord, he wants to give you a measure of grace for your life. You know what the word grace means? It means something that is given to you that you don't deserve. Does anybody need God's favor? We all do. Does anybody deserve God's favor? Not a one of us. And so God offers it to us by his grace. Unmerited favor. That's what grace is. You know, we're saved because of grace. Unmerited favor. We go to heaven because of unmerited favor. He gives us the gifts of the Spirit because of his grace, unmerited favor. He dwells with us, not because we deserve it, but because of unmerited favor. You see, he wants to, verse number 7, he wants to give you a measure of grace for your life. Verse number 8, he wants to lead you to victory. It says, wherefore he saith, going back to Psalm 68, verse number 18 through 20. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, when he was resurrected, he led captivity captive. Those that were in bondage, those that were under the snare of the devil, those that were being drugged all the way to a place called hell, now we're a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to Mount Zion, amen? We're going to the place where God's at. We're going to a place where the dwelling of God is. New Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God. He's come to lead us to victory. Verse number 8, he comes to give us gifts unto men. And these gifts are found in Ephesians 4 and verse number 11, a few verses later. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. He gave us gifts so that we could go ahead and serve God and worship God, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit and in the power of God. Now, go back to Psalm 68. I want you to see this. And I'm going to close. Psalm 68. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. You know, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all, it says in Isaiah 53. Thou hast led captivity captive. The ark was taken to a place of battle. God won the victory. Now he is taking the captives back home with him. Yea, for the rebellious also. You know, I hear so many times people say, you know, I'm so glad I came to Christ. What we really should say is, I'm so glad Christ came to us. He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. He came for the rebellious, verse number 18. He came to dwell with them. Who? The rebellious. Who? Those that were captive and those He was leading back to Mount Zion. He came to dwell with them. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 23, "And thou shalt call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. And in John chapter number 1 and verse number 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Listen, He came to dwell among them, His captives. But not only that, look what it says in verse number 19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." God not only took us captive, He bought us back from the devil. He paid the price with His own blood upon the cross of Calvary, and He purchased us with His own blood. And now He is leading us back to His dwelling place called Zion forever and ever. He gives us gifts that we might be able to serve Him. And we need to understand this. He loadeth us daily with benefits. That means God's come to bless us. God has taken, He has taken us a prisoner. He has taken us captive. Why? So He can dwell with us and so He can bless us. Amen? I don't know about you, but I think I'd rather have the blessings of God than the works of the devil in my life. Amen? What would you rather have? Let's take a vote. How many of you would rather have the blessings of God on your life? Can I see your hand? All right, you can put your hands down. How many of you would like to have the works of the devil on your life, leading you to a place called hell? Not a single person. I didn't think so. You see, He loadeth us daily with benefits. His provision every day, His grace every day, His mercy every day. Where would we be without the Lord? He loadeth us daily with benefits, even the salvation of our God. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, them He did also predestinate to be called according to... Them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and them He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He glorified. And what should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He gave gifts unto men. You say, well, I don't understand why people are in such bondage. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedient unto righteousness." Whose servant are you? Whose prisoner are you? Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him." The question this morning is this. We are all prisoners. Either the devil or the Lord. Who's your master? Whose prisoner are you? Let's bow forward to prayer, please. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to ask the Lord to save you today. It's better to be a prisoner of the Lord than a prisoner of the devil. And today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether you realize it or not, you are in bondage to the devil. And the only way that can be broken is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness, and you need to claim Him as your Savior today. You need to cry out to God and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. Lord, save me in Jesus' name. And He'll do that. Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so if you're lost, you need to get saved. If you're saved, then you need to start living for God. Don't willingly go into captivity of the devil. Live for the Lord. He's already given you victory. Now let's appropriate that victory in our life. Father, I pray, Lord, that you bless in a great way. Help us to realize that you paid the price, not only for our salvation, but, Lord, also for our victory. Help us, Lord, to live for you. Guide and direct, we ask it in Jesus' name.